Alright, there's gotta be something on.
They say the word shit like 100 times.
You make the bully drink piss.
Whoa!
What is this exactly about?
Sean's parents are basically on the verge of a divorce.
We'll come back to bite them in the ass later.
I always wonder, like, why was it always that kid's problem?
Did you see that?
But I'm sure I'm quite drunk enough to see Meet the Beatles.
Of course, yeah. Nobody saw it. You know why? Because no one saw this movie.
It's like Avenue Q, only worse.
Yeah, it was definitely a rental for me.
On 3D, plus the IMAX 3D, plus the other theater had it.
Which was not really that hard.
Wait, where did he come from?
Get it up.
One of those covers of the Video Store, you remember?
Oh, this is that movie? Yep, of course. Yep, what in the hell is this and why is it on my TV? Yeah, I'm gonna have to catch this from the beginning.
What am I watching?
Everything I know, I learned from movies. Like, really, let's break it down. Like,
Chris, how have we not been podcasting?
Outside kick, but it all started with some movie line somewhere. You know?
Yeah, man. I say it constantly. I'm always telling Carrie, I'm like, yeah, this is another one of those movies that made me think high school was going to be one way. And then when I got there, it wasn't. You know, we were watching 3 o'clock High the other day. And I'm like, yeah, this movie scared the shit out of me. I thought for sure there was a Buddy Ravel in every school and that he's just going to pick you. You touched my shoulder. I'm killing you today at 3 o'clock. And nothing you do can stop it. Even the school is going to help this happen. I was like, yeah, man, high school is going to be fucking insane. I don't know if I'm going to be able to handle it. And then you get there and you're like, this is like a really lame 90210 episode.
My favorite science moment. I realized that the human body can survive an accident by watching an obscure HBO 4 o'clock in the afternoon horror movie called The Kiss. Does anybody know?
No. I know what you're talking about.
No, but just the title alone is, I can't wait for where this is going to go.
The Kiss is, it's one of those, like, you know, I watched it when I was six, and then somehow, when Netflix was doing DVDs, I got to finally see it again when I was 22 or something like that, and it's a terrible movie.
Or full offense.
Specifically as a, yeah, right? I take offense.
I'm offended.
From Bob, you know, the director. But there's a scene in The Kiss where a woman is in the street and the plot doesn't matter. It's just basically you kiss somebody and something bad happens to them. But, you know, she's walking in the street and a car hits her and she crashes through this mannequins on display, retail window. And I remember specifically the scene where the cops are pulling her from the car and her body splits apart.
Ooh.
But she's still talking.
Nice.
I distinctly remember going, the body can survive after a traumatic event because I saw that in The Kiss. So I remember going to my science teacher, I swear to God.
This is awesome.
And the science teacher then told me, well, yeah, chickens, when they get their head cut off, you know, they run around the yard. And yes, the human head can survive for like, 2 minutes or something like that after it released. And I was like, thank you, Kiss.
Yeah. So now you can live with the nightmare knowing that everybody who was beheaded by a guillotine, when they held that head up to the crowd, their brain was still seeing the crowd cheering for them dead, and they couldn't say anything or do anything back. Not even connected to your body. You can't puke. Your mouth can move, maybe. But this guy...
And you hope they're saying, screw you.
Yeah! It didn't hurt! Imagine, fuck you guys, it didn't hurt and I'm out of here.
You can't go anywhere. I didn't want to go anywhere anyway.
I don't need a body anymore. I'm going to see what this is like. Oh, man.
To France again. Never.
It might be coming here.
Oh, man. But you know what I thought of when you were talking about the streaming and getting lost in it? Do you remember doing... I want to say like that's a newer thing, but... Didn't we do the same thing at the video store when we were young?
Yeah, where we just would like rent the same tape over and over again.
Oh yeah, I want to get this one, but this one looks cooler. I'll come back to that one. Okay, well, And then you're sitting there, you're spending 3 hours at the video store, and you haven't even one clip of anything. You could just take in one clip, go home, watch it, come back, and get another one, get the same one you're debating in the time that you took to debate the one clip. You know?
Man, well, that is a whole... Oh, go ahead, Chris.
Oh, I was going to say, there was, in the case of the video store, for me, there was something a little more pure about it,
more democratic,
if you will. Every tape had the same amount of shelf space, with the exception of those oversized Disney tapes, which when you got your certain age, you wouldn't look at those anyways. Pretty much every video store had the, you know, the VHS size thing, maybe a little larger for the clear cut, you know, cases. But you weren't forced into watching a trailer or anything like that, or there was no like, you know, sense of commitment other than, you know, you wanted to see it or you didn't. And with, I don't know, with the streaming thing, in a lot of ways it just doesn't work for me. But then again, at the same time when they do something like they say, oh, we're making Cobra Kai, I'm like, take my money for life.
Exactly, my God.
Have it all. I'll pay double. Like,
yeah.
You know,
especially,
I want a second.
Especially Cobra Kai. That show, I was shocked at how good season one was. I watched it by not so official means, so sorry, YouTube, you did not get my money that year. But it was good enough that I actually was saying to everybody, I'm pretty sure I'm going to do YouTube Red just to get season two, because oh my God. And again, taking a property from basically our formative years, you know, Karate Kid was a staple. And it's crazy too. This is something else I was telling Carrie about. Watching movies with these sort of now more aged sort of sensibilities, and the things that you notice that you're like, I did not realize there was a lot of political slant to this. I did not like what, like Dragnet. Oh, yeah. I was going, this is a whole church and state coup going on in this movie that as a kid I had no idea was happening. And Karate Kid, by that same tone, was basically an advertisement for the wave of after-school karate classes that became a staple for America for their elementary school and middle school and high school age kids. It was basically a giant commercial for, do you want to have a cool story like this loser who went to California and got himself beat up multiple times by being an arrogant kid? You can learn karate and it'll turn your whole life around. That was strictly so that karate became a thing. But we saw that movie, and I didn't see that at all as a kid. I just saw, holy crap, you can meet your Miyagi, and he could take you from white belt to black belt in a month. This guy's a genius. Pay him whatever he wants, because he is the man.
And he'll give you a car, and you'll get a shoe, and everything will work out just fucking swimmingly.
And no matter what happens to you, he has magic powder that he can fix you with. You know what I mean? He's the man. He's your sensei.
That with Ghostbusters. You know, Ghostbusters probably four times a day when I was, you know, from the age of like 2 to 6, you know. And never got it until I'm 16 years old, sitting in the living room, me and my mom were watching Ghostbusters, and the floating ghost over the bed scene. All of a sudden, I'm watching it, I'm going, uh-huh.
Severely edited down, deleted scene from what I understand.
I'm going, yeah. I look at my mother and she goes, you just got that? I'm like, I don't know. I have no idea. Oh my God.
Yeah. Oh my God. Remember when we were watching Uncle Buck a couple weeks ago?
And the washing machine scene.
I'm like, dude, what? Like, we saw this in the theaters. I was a kid. Like, oh my God.
It's not easy butchering people. It's hard work. You know, there's a lot more like me.
We're talking to serial killers.
Serial killers!
New terminology.
Are criminals born, or are they formed?
How do we get ahead of crazy if we don't know how crazy thinks?
It's easier to ask for forgiveness than for permission.
Welcome to the Hollow Nine Mindhunter Podcast.
Hey, this is David Clone from the Hollow Nine Network, just checking in saying, hey, what's up to all our Radio Haver fans listening to us from all around the globe. We want to thank you for all of the live streams during our programming, and a big thanks to Drew Carson for giving us the slot. We've got some renovations going on at the home base at hollow9.com. Pretty soon, it's going to have a whole new look and feel, so just get ready. Until then, keep rocking over at Radio Haver.
Uncle Buck was, I think, one of the first movies I saw in theaters without a parent with me, like just with the neighborhood kids. That and Karate Kid 3, the summer of 89.
Oh, but, Karate Kid 3.
Yeah, you know, in terms of this, this is an interesting thing. What is the worst movie scene you've ever had to watch with your parents? Because that sounds like that might be yours.
I can definitely tell you hands down what mine was.
Why don't you go first, Chris? Because I think you got to set the tone for this. You brought up the new segment, worst scene ever. Hashtag worst scene ever. This is going to become a new recurring thing on the Hollow Nine.
I remember as a kid when I knew one of these scenes was coming up, I would leave like the room the scene before and act like I was getting a snack from the pantry or something to avoid the awkwardness. Right?
I love this.
So did you really peek around the corner? Because you didn't want to miss it, Chris?
What? Say that again?
I said, did you peek around the corner and watch it, though? You just didn't want your parents' eyes on you while you were watching it? Or did you completely absolve yourself?
No, I just didn't want, like, any convert. Like, whatever they would look at me and say something, I would be the most awkward thing ever. So I'd listen in the next room and wait for, like, okay, the scene in Teen Wolf where she's, like, in her bra. Like, it's over now. It's not going to be weird to watch that. I can go
full
back
refusal.
In and keep watching Teen Wolf. But the worst one... So I live in New Jersey. My family lives in Chicago. I went home one year to visit, and I always bring some movies to show my older brother. So I went home and we watched Grandma's Boy. And my mom comes down into the basement midway, you know, like maybe 20 minutes into Grandma's Boy or whatever.
Just right about there.
Just when he's staying over at Nick Swartzen's roommate's house, his parents' house. And it's the scene where he takes the doll into the bathroom. I think you guys know this scene.
The Hawaiian
What's going on
doll?
Under the skirt, Laura? Why don't you show me?
So the best part about this is my mom's name is Laura. So he's saying all this shit like, oh, no panties, Laura. Like, and I'm sorry, Mom, if you're listening, I love you, Ma. This was just a horrible, awkward moment for all of us. I think she made it right until then when the mom came in and she's like, yeah, I'm you guys enjoy, like, I'll see you later at dinner. Like, and I'm like, oh, I'm so sorry, Mom. Like,
it feels so good.
I just love that line, my doll's a whore.
And she's already got a cold sore, so that's interesting.
Dude, coming on my mom is one thing. A threesome with your grandma? Legendary.
He's been having like crazy orgies all week. Yeah, man. His roommates pouring all the time.
My mom said you could stay over. Yeah, that'll be a great opportunity.
What? Hey, man, can I stay at your house? Why? So you could come on my mom? Like, how many people did you tell about this? I don't know. Like, how many people did you tell about the incident with your mom? I don't know. Like 13. He's like, why? People keep asking me about it.
I'm sure your mom would really appreciate it.
Oh, God. Wow. All right, so Grandma's Boy we're going to be doing at some point, guys. There's definitely a Grandma's Boy episode here.
Oh, yeah.
I could feel it. Let's keep going around the table. Do you have a worse scene that you could think of, Carrie? Or Ian, do you want to go next?
Oh, I do. And actually, there's a great second part to this story.
I love it.
So how many of you are fans of John Waters' Pink Flamingos?
Okay,
oh, John Waters.
I'm going to fully admit to having never seen it. So,
God, playing,
I can't I know. I just lost my aficionado card.
Wonderful scene in Pink Flamingos where a guy, I can't believe I'm saying this on,
I love it.
On live, but a guy literally can open and close his butthole. Okay? And John Waters has the song, by the trash man, you know, surfing bird.
Mm-hmm.
It's playing as the guy is opening and closing his record. Well, now, the funny part about why I know this movie is because my mother got me the collection of John Waters' VHS New Line films.
I love this.
Wow.
I love this.
And mainly only because of Hairspray. My mom loved Hairspray, mm-hmm. and she knew polyester. And, you know, John Waters, you know, in a weird way, got more conservative as in his movies as he got older. So,
it's because he kicked the door down on the first few.
Yeah, and I'm watching, you know, Pink Flamingos, where there's incest and a guy holding a sausage to his sausage, and you know, the scene with the bunghole and all this, and you know, and my parents are like, oh, let's watch Pink Flamingos. We're watching it, and I'm telling them, I'm being the parent going, you guys, I want you to know what's in this movie.
Yeah.
Like, oh, can't be that bad.
Do you realize what you've done?
Now, a fun part is the fact that my dad is a minister.
Oh, wow. Oh, oh wow. This thing just went up a notch.
But, you know, like, my dad's a cool guy. He, you know, he watches the Steven... When we go to the video store, he'd get the new Steven Seagal movie.
That's nice.
My dad. You know, so he doesn't, you know... But anyway, you know, of course, that scene comes on, and it's the most awkward, uncomfortable, like, oh, my God. But my mom, God bless her, she's laughing her ass off. She is just hysterically laughing.
Even during the butthole scene?
Yeah, she's laughing. Laughing her guts out over the scene. And it's that, but it's that weird thing. You're like 13 going,
I can't laugh at this because then they'll know I understand it. And I don't want them to know I understand this.
Like, you know, so I think Chris, I did the same thing. I'm like, I got to go get a soda. I got to leave.
Wow.
Now, I tell you that also to tell you that about 3 years ago, I actually got to meet John Waters in North Carolina. And he offered it, you know, for the audience to ask questions. And nobody was asking.
Yeah.
The audience was just in such shock because John Waters playing the South is, that's just funny.
It somehow works.
I raised my hand and he goes, yeah, what's your question? I go, why in Pink Flamingos did you put the song Surfing Bird to the guy opening and closing his rectum? And in a split second, he didn't even pause. He goes, why not? Doesn't that song sound like a man's butthole opening?
Dude, John Waters speaking to crowds is amazing. Like, I watched him, one of the things on IFC, where he was talking about how he had to ask, was it Divine who brings his own poop to the film for that? Like, whoever eats the poop in the movie, he kind of talked about how he's like, yeah, so at this point, you know, we've gone so far, I wound up just calling him and saying, hey, do you think if you go to the bathroom tonight, you wouldn't mind like doing it in a box and bringing it tomorrow? And he's just like, you know, you hear a pause on the other end of the phone for a second, and they go, okay, John, you know, and then that's how that, and then they did that. I mean, I wasn't going to use Serial Mom as my scene for this, but now that we brought up John Waters, I realized that one is probably better than the one I was going to use. The one I was going to use was when I went to see Pulp Fiction. My dad took me and my friend who lived next door, who I used to play Dungeons and Dragons with, my buddy Harry. It was like, hey guys, you want to go see a movie? And we both wanted to see Pulp Fiction, so we're all like, yeah, Pulp Fiction. And then we get to the Ving Rhames rape scene where you're kind of, and I'm sitting there sandwiched between a good friend and my dad, and none of us are making eye contact because we're just like, you know, when they wake up with the ball gags in your mouth, you're like, oh, fuck, where is the, this is going to go someplace none of us thought this movie was going to go. And
let me just say, as a woman, we wouldn't have had that same cringe. This is definitely a man problem.
Well, I think at that time, it was a man it was a man problem at that time. These days, God knows what it is. But we were sitting there, and you're kind of like, okay, Bruce Willis. Why is he wearing an S&M outfit? They've got ball gags in their mouth. And you're like, oh, God, why is this happening? And they do the eeny, meeny, miny, moe. And you think, all right, Bruce Willis got away. We're done with this. And then he stops. And you're like, fuck, this is going to be crazy. And then I'm thinking, well, maybe they're just beating the shit out of him in there. Maybe that's what it is. Maybe that's what we're hearing. And then that door opens. You're like, oh, God, no, that's what we thought. Oh, God. And so after that, like, nothing could shock my dad or I. We were just like, hey, man, let's go see The Exorcist again. I mean, fuck, you know, whatever comes out next. Like, we've been through this. Nothing can shock us. Prior to that, or maybe
defined our relationship as father and son.
Yeah, now we know the precipice. This is as dark as it can get, man. We're gonna be fine. Probably around the same time though, because wasn't Serial Mom 94? So I think those were in the same.
Oh yeah, that
same
was HBO movie.
Closeness.
That was one that played a lot on HBO.
Yeah.
Oh, definitely. Yeah.
And I think we rented it. It was like my mom and my sisters and I went to my uncle's house. This is around when my parents were getting divorced, so there was a lot of times where we would.
So your mom was having murderous thoughts.
I guess it was probably ironically why we rented the movie, I guess. And I'm watching it with my uncle, my aunt, my mom, my sisters, and I think my cousin was a baby at the time. And there comes the part where the friend has the adult movies in his room and he's just like beating off with the blanket over him.
Andy,
and I'm going,
Child's Play 3.
Am I supposed to know what's going on under that blanket? I don't want to laugh at this, but this is one of the most uncomfortable moments I've ever had because I know my uncle's laughing at it and my mom is trying to laugh, but trying to also be like, holy shit, I'm watching this with my kids. And mom, I guess I'm sorry too if you're listening to this because holy crap. If you heard about this happening now, this would be a Dyfus call or a CPS call happening. Someone would hear this and go, I don't know where they live. Listen to that podcast and you find those motherfuckers. They're letting kids watch really weird movies. But now I'm just like, hey, look, the 90s, we were still safe. We were allowed to make mistakes as people and not have it held against us for the rest of our lives. So, those two are probably the cream of the crop for uncomfortable movie scenes with family and friends that I'm like, well, now I can kind of get through anything, guys. We've been to battle together.
We've been to hell, boys.
I like the two masturbation scenes and a talking butthole scene.
And a rape scene. So,
do we have a tiebreaker in here?
We don't have any car crashes or real violent stuff. No one was...
That scene in Parenthood where the parents were yelling at each other. So traumatizing.
Well, I'll say, though, that was a weird one to watch as a kid in the theaters because I understood a lot of the stuff that was happening in that movie and I knew, I'm like, oh, this movie wasn't for us. This she should not have taken us to. Like, I know what that was that they thought was a flashlight and all the stuff going on in this movie. I'm like... This is premarital sex. So this is like first masturbation stuff, first porn collection, you know, trashing your father's office because he broke up with your mom. So much stuff going on that I'm like, this wasn't a kid's movie. Why did we think this was going to be a kid's movie? Like, the trailer was funny, I guess, but it seemed like it was going to be more family-friendly.
But can't you say, though, when I look back at a lot of these older movies were very hyper-sexualized. Of course, maybe those were just the ones we watched. Because I'm thinking, I don't remember ever being embarrassed, but I also remember, like, Thanksgiving, we'd go to the video store, and we'd come back with Hot Dog the Movie, Porky's Revenge. So I grew up watching, those were holiday movies in my house. So very little, but Dave spent some time with me. Very little offends me. Anyways, so that's why.
I'm learning this. That's why she's perfect for the podcast.
You get 2 points for actually talking about Porky's Revenge.
Not okay.
Thank you.
Hell yeah.
Exactly.
Man. It never gets its damn dues.
That's exactly right.
Shout out to Bob Clark. It's hard to believe the same guy who made Porky's made A Christmas Story, but
hey, man.
I didn't know that. Director,
Hashtag versatility. You know, I mean, it's good to have a lot of range in your repertoire, you know what I mean? We could tell all kinds of stories. Wholesome, whole dirtiness, it's all good. It's all good. Go ahead, Chris. I feel like you got something ready to go.
Well, I was just going to say, in terms of Parenthood, which is a movie that I love.
Me too.
I was young enough when I saw that movie in theaters that I pretty much saw it through the eyes of the youngest son, who just rams his head into the wall. I was like, okay.
The kid with violence issues? Yeah.
And then I kept getting okay, now I get it through the middle age, Phoenix kid, whatever, Joaquin Phoenix kid. Now I get it through the teenage.
Holy crap!
Now I'm like, I'm not even Steve Martin. Now I'm like Jason Robards. I'm like, man's 21 or 41 or 61. Like, damn it.
First time I got laid was in a car. Oh, story for another time. But yeah, dude, talk about my mind just being blown by you mentioning that was Joaquin Phoenix.
You didn't get that?
I didn't remember that was Joaquin Phoenix. Oh, yeah. And some of those people.
He was Leaf. That's why a lot of people got.
Oh, gotcha.
And a lot of people think there was another Phoenix brother who was an actor, but it's just he switched the names.
Because he thought he thought his name was keeping him from getting parts, right? Like that was, again, too, back in the day when if your name was too. Even in the 90s and the 80s, it was like, if your name was too exotic, we're like, man, unless you're literally just won an Oscar or you're some famous person's kid, which, I mean, brother is close enough, I would think, we're going to call you Sam. And then when you get really famous, you could come out and be like James Carey. I know he's Jim Carrey. Like, a lot of people had slightly different stage names at the beginning of the game.
You've been listening to the Hollow Nine Network, bringing you the very best in fan-made media. That's the word hollow, the number 9, INE. Now broadcasting from our new home on the web, hollow9.com, where you can find info on all of our awesome programming as well as the team behind the shows. Leave us your feedback, join in the conversation, and be a part of the action. Find the Hollow Nine Network on Facebook. Follow us on Twitter, Instagram, and Snapchat. Rate and review us on iTunes, Stitcher, Google Play, or wherever you find your podcasts. Email us at info@hollow9.com or at hollow9podcast@gmail.com. Join in the fun. Hollow Nine.
The New Jersey HorrorCon reputation is exploding. The atmosphere you guys have created. New Jersey HorrorCon was my entree into an actual horror convention.
Wow. Love it.
And you guys are doing a great job.
That is amazing. I'm super proud and super inspired to hear that. I mean, that's a testament to the community of cons and, you know, of horror and stuff in general.
My God.
Oh, my God.
Oh, it's Carmen Electra.
Hey, hey,
wow, we are all nice giving high fives to an absolute icon.
This is incredible.
Trailblazer, amazing. You are amazing. Carmen Electra,
absolutely. Be well. Safe. Thank you so much.
Love.
Have a good one. Be well.
So
you can't see it on radio, but she's still
God.
Got it.
Yes,
that's my
absolutely.
Wife right
still
there.
Got
my
it.
My wife gets the picture of Carmen Electra.
The wife does it. There you go, wife. Good job, wife. That's a cool. keeper. That wife's a keeper.
Are you having a blast?
I am having a blast. Are you having a blast?
I am.
This place is awesome, right?
What's your most favorite part of the whole day so far?
When the guy dressed like Gene Simmons from Kiss stopped in front of our booth and we put Strutter on and he did a lip sync to the whole thing.
Guys, if you haven't subscribed yet, go ahead and do that.
Yesterday I bumped into Michael Winslow. I got to have this whole experience where Leslie Easterbrook was lost and looking for her autograph table and I got to take her all around.
It's spooky, actually. I'm going to turn the chair around a little bit so I can see you.
All right.
Keep an eye on you. I saw you and I thought, this guy knows everything. Terrific sound in here with
cool.
you.
Thank you. Thank you. Yeah, it's
really
amazing
clear.
How it... Damon Della Greca of Slasher, this awesome app.
I wanted to do something that would really make it for these people who just love to create, who love horror.
Thank you for what you're doing, dude. It's
Thank
great
you.
That you put this together.
Absolutely, man. It's always good to see you.
We're trying to have as much fun, and we want people to have fun with us, and that's why we got guys like you stop by the table, hang out. We get to do the radio thing for a little bit.
He's from Jersey. I'm from the South, so.
And I'm from the Bronx, so.
So we're all still friends. That's good.
So we're all good. Daniel Frankenstein. I'm representing psychothematicmedia.com. Call ourselves a creative collective.
My name is Gail Bykowitz.
Yeah, I'm Hector De La Rosa. We're partners in crime here. We're doing special effects makeup, and we're also independent filmmakers.
When I ran into them earlier, they were definitely vampire cowboys.
I love Better Off Dead. I love Villain Ted. And I'm just so glad that you guys remember
those films. Oh my God. Those movies, I would go to school and just try and talk like Bill and Ted all day.
No like, triumphant.
I want my $2, man. Right? I have walked around wanting those $2 for how many years now?
This is fantastic.
We need some language lessons.
David Clone from the Hollow Nine Network, and by now you know what it's time for you to do. Let's go on over to NewJerseyHorrorCon.com, get yourself some tickets, and check out this awesome event where we are lifetime sponsors. We will be there from now until infinitum with all these incredible guests that are going to be at the next one, bringing you all the awesome from the show floor right to your digital door, right here at Hollow9.com at the New Jersey Horror Con and Film Festival.
Did you get it? I hope you got it.
I got it.
That's good. See you soon.